when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Warmer temperatures and precipitation on the way here in South Central Iowa. This is your Thunder Country weather update for all of Southern Iowa. Overnight tonight, the low around 67 degrees, a windy Tuesday, warming up to around 81 degrees. For our Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms in the forecast could bring us up to 3/4 of an inch daytime and an inch overnight. Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now with your host, Pat Powers, here's Just Start Talking.
With me now for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have Jennifer Carrico. Jennifer, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thank you, Pat. I'm glad to be here.
Well, good deal, because I'm intrigued with your writing style. You've got a lot of items on your resume, but before we get all to that, tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what were you involved with when you were a youngster, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I grew up in Redfield, Iowa. I actually live on the farm that I grew up on again now, and I grew up, it's a cattle and crop farm. My love is with the cattle part of it. I say that I know we have to have dirt farming to be able to raise the cattle, but I don't know anything about dirt farming. So I stick to the cattle. I grew up in 4-H and FFA and showed cattle through the Iowa Junior Angus and the National Junior Angus shows across the country. Met some pretty amazing people, was involved in FFA, probably a little bit more so than 4-H. I was a district officer in FFA and also received my state and American degrees. And then on the cattle side, I was involved at the state and national level, and I served on the National Junior Angus Board, which was a great opportunity. Allowed me to travel even more extensively than I had prior to that. So it was a great way to grow up, and also the way that I brought my kids up.
Well, talking about that Angus Breed Association, of course, Angus, very well-known, popular breed. Scotland is their ancestry. Your folks had that breed as well. Did your grandparents have that same herd then?
Yes, my grandfather started it when my dad and his siblings were growing up. So there were cattle here on our farm prior to that, but a registered herd would have started when my dad was in 4-H. So my kids are actually the sixth generation to raise cattle on this farm. So that's pretty cool to say that. And it's also a heritage farm. So I've been in the same family for over 150 years.
Yeah, that is a milestone to say the least, for sure. So let's go ahead and bump you to college. Where did you attend post-secondary school at, and what did you study?
Yes, I went to college at Iowa State, and I wanted to be a veterinarian when I went to college. So I was an animal science degree. And got about, 2 years into it, decided that maybe I wasn't going to cut it. My grades weren't quite going to cut it for vet school. But I didn't want to change my degree because I knew I was on track to get out in 4 years. But then I kind of realized that I enjoyed writing and I enjoyed the communication side of the different organizations that I'd been a part of. I'd oftentimes been the secretary or the communications director, and it just was kind of an aha moment. I was an intern actually at the Iowa Cattlemen's Association in the communications department, and that probably helped lead me to where I am now. So my junior year, I started a minor in journalism, mass communications, because Iowa State at that time, which still is amazing to me that they didn't have ag communications or ag journalism at that time, but they had dropped it, which they have restarted it now, thank goodness. So I added a journalism minor, and I still got on track to be done in 4 years. So I ended up with a major in animal science and a minor in journalism. And that's really, I guess, where I started realizing that journalism is what I like. And I really didn't have any idea what I would do after college, but I knew I wanted to be able to communicate the message of the farmer and rancher to whoever I could.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you wanted to be done in 4 years. Sometimes there's professional students that just keep going and going and going. And four That's years true. Is a nice goal to get things taken care of. So kudos to you for being able to take care of that. And of course, it's a lot more expensive now than it was when you went through. But my goodness gracious, 4 years is a plenty of time to get things taken care of. And it's nice to have someone admit that they wanted to get done in 4 years and not go on and on and on.
Right. And, you know, back then we didn't have any of those college classes in high school. So keeping that in mind as well, you know, getting done in 4 years was really oftentimes was something that didn't happen back then.
And I appreciate the fact that you said you've got the niche, you got the bug during college to write. I thought maybe somebody was in the background, Sarah, that said, hey, you ought to try this. But as an intern for the Iowa Cattlemen, talk about some of those early articles that you did for them.
Yeah, I worked for Carol Ball Vance, who I would consider one of my mentors, and she was amazing. And she, after she left the Iowa Cattlemen, she was at the Iowa Soybean Association for several years. And I believe she's retired now. But she really kind of guided me and showed me what, you know, what my gift was. And that I could go talk to farmers and ranchers and cattlemen and go tell their story. Besides her, I would say my favorite professor in journalism at Iowa State was Barbara Mack. She has since passed away, but she was an amazing person as well. And besides being a professor, she was a lawyer. And I remember the first day of class, she said, don't look at anybody else's work. Don't try to copy their work. And if you don't think I will throw you out of this college, I will. And I can give you names of people I've done it to. So she kind of scared the jeepers out of us. And but she became one of my biggest mentors. She was a cheerleader for me too, and I got to know her better because she also showed horses. So I used that when I needed to be gone for a cattle show that I had a commitment at, and she understood that, and that I appreciate, because it seems like there's so many teachers, professors, and coaches out there that don't understand what we do in the ag industry. So she kind of took me under her wing and said, hey, yes, if this is something that you're interested in, I think that you need to go do this. And it really meant a lot to me. So some of the early stories I did, I can remember I went to James Red Angus over at Searsboro. They had a set of quadruplet calves, and my assignment was to get a picture of them. And it was before cell phone pictures and before digital cameras. So they sent me on my way with a camera, and I went out, and we went into the pen in the barn with them, and they were telling me about how they were so surprised that this cow had four calves. I don't remember the one in 100,000 or something along that line, maybe fewer than that. And so we kind of set up the picture. The cow, thankfully, was very quiet. And I had Rex on one side and Fritz on the other. And they kind of gathered the calves in the middle, and the cow was standing behind the calves. I mean, I could not have set that picture up any more perfect. So you take the picture, you have no idea what you have. You
right.
just hope that you have it right. And we printed those, and it was actually on the cover of the Iowa Cattlemen's Magazine. And it was, I still say, one of the best pictures I ever took.
That is phenomenal. I'm talking with Jennifer Carrico for my edition of Just Start Talking. And Jennifer is a agricultural journalist writer for a business that we will get to soon. But go ahead and venture into your first paid position then. It was very close by in the KIIC listening area.
Yes, it was. I worked on a dairy farm up north of Ottumwa for about 6 months, Cloak Dairy, because I was looking for a journalism job and had moved to the area and was having a hard time finding one. And so I found a job with Cloak and really had no background at all in dairy, but I obviously knew cattle and really learned a lot from them. They taught me what I needed to know to be able to milk cows, and it's just kind of cool. And I drive by there still and can say, hey, that's where I worked. But then after that, I got a job as a copy editor at the Ottumwa Courier. So that was really my first journalism job. And it was going in at 3 p.m, and when I first started was back when they were still doing cut and paste. So they would actually print the paper out on a sticky, I don't even know how to describe it for the listeners have never seen it or been around it, but they basically printed it out and then laid it out on a big sheet of paper, and then they took a picture of it, and then they made plates just like in the olden days when they would do similar when they were making pictures.
Right.
And then they would run those plates through. So you really learned the quote-unquote old way of doing newspapers. And so that was really neat. And you could, and when you say, when, it's funny, I think back every time my editor says, you need to cut this a little bit, it's too long. I think back to those days, and we actually took an X-Acto knife and cut words out to make it fit.
Oh, my goodness.
And then eventually we got all electronic and could lay out the paper on our screen, on our computer screen, and see what it was going to look like. So that was a really good learning experience because it showed me kind of the background of I was reading stories. I was picking out stories to go on the pages. And making them fit and write headlines and make sure that the grammar and the punctuation was correct. And so those were all skills that I knew and had learned. And so it was nice to be able to use those. I worked there for about a year and a half. And then I got a job with Iowa Farmer Today. So that Iowa Farmer Today was really my first ag journalism writing job. And it was as the livestock field editor, and I covered the entire state and wrote stories about Iowa livestock, anything from turkeys to cattle to dairy cattle to pigs. We obviously covered a lot of hog stuff because Iowa being number one in hogs at that time, and so that was really my first writing job.
And then me if I'm wrong, but with the Iowa Farmer Today, that was probably your first introduction into color pictures then as well. Is that right?
Yes, because I didn't do any writing or photography at the Courier. So it really was. And they provided, of course, all of the equipment we needed. We used slide film so that they could, when they processed it, I would take the pictures. I would ship them off to Cedar Rapids because that was when I first started working at home. People say, "Oh, it's so hard to work from home." I really don't know any other way. I've worked from home since 1998.
Wow.
We would ship off the film, and they'd process it, and they could look at it with a microscope and see what the pictures actually were going to look like instead of the negatives, which we all know what those look like, would be the opposite of what the color would be. So that was, yes, that was the first time I was using a camera, and there were times that we would have to go back out and reshoot something if it didn't turn out, because, again, no digital stuff.
Right, so. Wasted, not a waste of time, but redundancy makes you get behind the eight ball a little bit. Okay, after Iowa Farmer today, talk about the next stop on your journey.
Yeah, actually the next stop was the family moved to Indiana for 3 years, managed a cattle farm out there. So I kind of got a little bit of a break from journalism. I did some freelance design work and designed ads and did some directories and stuff. So I kind of dabbled in it. But then when we moved back to the Ottumwa area, that's when I actually, I was looking for a job again and kind of lucked out and ran into an old friend that said, hey, the High Plains Journal is looking for someone in Iowa as a writer. He gave me the name of who I needed to talk to. I called down there and sent him my resume and did a couple freelance stories for them first so they could see what my writing style was like. And everything kind of, they say, it's not always what you know, it's who you know.
There you go.
In that case, it really was. And I was in the right place at the right time. And so then I worked for High Plains Journal. In Iowa, it was called Midwest Ag Journal because Iowa is clearly not necessarily in the High Plains. So they just changed the name a little bit for Iowans. And I worked there for 12 years. So that was really a great job. I really liked working for them. I covered not only Iowa, but part of Missouri, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. So I got to travel a little bit more and meet people and do stories about people that was different than what was happening in Iowa. So, you know, I think farmers learn a lot from reading about what other farmers do.
Good point.
And you know, even if it's someone in South Dakota that manages their farm or ranch differently than Southeast Iowa, there's always something to learn.
That's a very good
point. So that was a really great opportunity. I guess from there, I did some freelance for a couple of years following that, and then went and worked for the Iowa Cattlemen's for about 2 years as a membership manager. I really enjoyed that job as well. I did do some writing for them from time to time, but it was more talking to producers, and I still talk to some of the producers that I met there when I was as a membership manager. So that was a neat opportunity. Kind of took me full circle from when I worked there in college. So it was kind of a neat opportunity.
You may have even gotten a perk or two going to the Iowa Cattlemen's tent and having a burger, right?
well, that's actually a different entity, but you know, we like to promote beef and however we could, and being a beef producer, it was really a neat opportunity, and I got to work with some great people there, and like I said, still friends with them still now, so that is neat as well.
You always have that network there no matter what. I'm talking with Jennifer Carrico. She's a writer in the agricultural journalistic area, and it's been a pleasure to chat with her. Now, after the Iowa Cattlemen's Association, being the membership manager, then you stepped your foot into where?
Then it was time for me to get back into writing, and I didn't probably realize how much I missed it until what I would say a big opportunity that was in front of me. And the editor for the Wallace's Farmer had retired, and they were looking for an editor. And for those of you that know Rod Swoboda, he was there for so many years.
Yes.
presented you with several awards when you're at AgriPower.
That's true.
So, you know, everybody knew Rod, and he was kind of the face of Wallace's Farmer for so many years, and still to this day will do some. He still does some stories for them. So that was a great opportunity as well. I mean, I say all of these were great opportunities. They really were. I wouldn't. You know, we all say, oh, if I could change this or that. I don't think I would change my journey throughout my career. You get into a place and you kind of think that that's where you're going to be forever, or is your best job, and then something else comes forward. Right. So you just never know.
Well, you think about it. The Wallace's Farmer is so iconic as a little whippersnapper. When back in the 70s, that was the first magazine that I looked at. Then later on, it was Successful Farming. But the Wallace's Farmer, it was every month, and boom, I was looking in that sucker because it was such a big magazine. You know, it was just so iconic. And so, yeah, you got in with Wallace's Farmer, and what might be one of the best articles that you wrote for them?
Oh, wow. You're putting me on the spot. My favorite articles, I can say, were always the ones that had a human interest side. And obviously, I have a cattle background, so any cattle stories I probably enjoyed writing more so than about other things. But to think of one in particular, I mean, I could think of my favorite stories I ever wrote, and like I said, they were human interest and always had some big time emotion that went with them.
Right.
And those, I think, are the ones that touch people when they read them, and people enjoy reading. And so, you know, I will say, as editor of Wallace's Farmer, I wrote a monthly editorial. So it was my chance to kind of give my feeling about this is what it's like to grow up on your family's farm that has been in your family for 150 years. And so some of my editorials when I worked there would definitely be my favorites, you know, writing about growing up on the farm, or I wrote about my son renovated our Super M tractor when he was here in high school in the ag room, and that was quite the project, as you know, I'm sure.
Yes.
And so that was a pretty fun story to write and reminisce about how that tractor had been used through the years. So, you know, to pinpoint one, I mean, if you want to know my favorite story ever, I can tell you about that. It wasn't when I was at Wallace's, but when I was at High Plains Journal, I had a friend that said, hey, have you heard about this guy in Kansas that was electrocuted, and when he was in his tractor? And I kind of had heard about it, but didn't really know the whole story. And so did some checking in the wonderful world of Google and found that there is this man that had been out during wheat harvest, and the auger of the auger wagon that he was in had gotten tangled up in electrical line. And then just the story of how it progressed. He got burned, and it was very bad. And so I got a hold of them through social media and asked if they would let me tell their story. And they did, and it was by far the most emotional story that I've ever written. Hearing them tell their story, interviewed the couple, the parents, the other people that worked on the farm, and, you know, just the whole process, and then following along as to what happened since then, and just, you know, I'm still friends with them on social media, and it's really neat to see how they have gone through life. And the man's name is Zach Short, and his mom actually wrote a book about the whole story and what happened, and he has two legs that, you know, he lost one leg above the knee and one below the knee. So, I mean, you know, the process of getting prosthetics, and he was in the burn unit, and it just is an amazing, amazing story that he's even here and can tell us. And that by far would be my number one favorite story ever.
So hearing you describe that, it sounds like you had quite a few different sources from people, and now you have to mold that into one story that has to take a lot of procedure. It has to take a lot of ability to put things into chronological order from each person. How did you go through that?
Yeah, it is hard. And when you're doing a one source story, it's easy because people tend to tell the story from the beginning to the end.
Right.
And but when you have a multi-source story, even if it's about grazing corn stalks, if you have more than one source, you have to figure out how to put everybody's information in the story. And so it can be, at times it can be more difficult than others. And you have to really, I think it's just experience. Obviously, I've been doing it for, 25, 30 years. It's just collecting all the information, reading through it a little bit. Now I use a lot of recordings and transcripts, so I can kind of scroll through the transcript to find the place that I want, or I'll keep track of what time they said something really fabulous. I'll write down the time, so then okay. I'll scroll down to that spot. So, yeah, it is kind of a skill, and I don't know how they teach it now. You know, we've always were taught when I was growing up and when I was in college, you have your introduction, the body, and your conclusion.
Bingo.
And really, you know, that still holds true. And so then it's just determining what order you need to put things in. And I will say the one thing that I probably am the worst at is writing subheads within the story, because I pride myself on writing transitions. And so when you are good at writing transitions, it's hard to put a subhead because you're writing it in the sentence.
Right.
So that's probably my biggest weakness, is trying to figure out where those subheads go within the story.
That is phenomenal, though, how you do that. I'm talking with Jennifer Carrico. She's an agricultural journalist for several companies, but right now you're with DTN Progressive. Talk about that situation.
Yes, I've been with DTN Progressive Farmer as a senior livestock editor for about a year. It was, I guess, about a year now. I don't know my exact start date, but I know it was in October. And when I was at Wallace's, I was covering everything agriculture. And to be honest, it was a big job. And being, at that time, was the only writer at Wallace's. And so, you know, making sure I covered everything properly was a hard thing to do. So I was kind of presented, I guess, this opportunity at DTN, and they sought me out, and which is a pretty big honor, I would say. And the people I work with are people I have known for years. That's the one nice thing in agriculture journalism. Everybody kind of knows each other.
Yep.
We have about there's three or four different organizations that we belong to professionally, and we have really, you know, one or two or three pretty good size meetings throughout the year. And so you get to know people within the industry, and they might work for a trade association or another publication, or an ad agency. And I think, you know, for the most part, it would be interesting to know how many people grew up on a farm.